sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, sitting here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
I'm doing great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, I'm excited about today's show because we've got Scott Hill in the studio here, and Scott's with no longer with OU football. He was for a long time, but he is with Call Us First Home Inspections, and he plays that as diligently as he did football. Right, Scott?
Well, I hope so. I hope that it's that way. You know, sometimes I think people get me on just because of OU football to get to visit with Barry Switzer and things like that. So I'm glad that Call Us First is on your mind as well. Thanks a lot for that.
I'm going to tell you, before we get to the home inspection things, I'm going to stick on the OU football that I got to be with Scott Hill in the spring game, that there was many of us who you had kind of got us all in there, and Coach Switzer came by, and there were some others that came by, and man, that was a good time. That was a really, really good time.
And what the others that dropped in to say
yeah,
hi
just
to us.
Dropped in.
They were unaware that we already were in the presence of greatness, and we knew it.
That's right.
Well, that's when I left. Coach Switzer came in, greatness came in, I left out for a while to give y'all plenty of time. That's the way it's planned.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, we appreciate that you would include us on that, because that is a very fun time for us. That really doesn't have anything to do with us using you for a home inspector. We get we don't care how influential you are or famous. We are going to get a really good home inspector.
Yeah.
And do we always use Scott Hill?
Well, it is a buyer's choice of who is used.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't dictate who we use, and we have no collaboration necessarily to say use Scott Hill. But when they ask us who's a good home inspector, I always turn around and say, would you like to know who I used personally?
Yeah,
I used Scott Hill. And I think that probably speaks volumes as to how good he is, because I wouldn't use him for free. And we paid, too, by the way. I mean, it's a legit relationship, and if somebody did it for free, I wouldn't use them, because I trust that Scott will be objective, find the things, point them out, and then just advise on how important each item is and stuff.
So, Scott, just what is the role? And I know we've done this before, but just real shortly, what's the role of inspector?
Well, it's a good question, Mark, because a lot of people expect us to come in and be the experts, and in essence, we're really just the eyes and ears and smell, so to speak, of the house. We become partners with the house for about 2 hours, where we go in and we do everything visual. Everything's visual. We can take a few things apart, but we're not sanctioned from the Constructions Industry Board to really take anything apart. And we're not sanctioned really to come back at the end and tell somebody whether, for instance, a roof needs to be replaced or not. We're to go in and use our experience, come back to the realtor and the buyer, and make suggestions as to whether they bring in a more specialized person to really do a bigger evaluation. So we're more the eyes and ears of the home.
Yeah, but I will tell you that unlike many home inspectors that we have had in the past, and that we still experience other home inspectors because we go with whatever the buyer wants, you don't call in an expert on every single discipline. To me, you're not getting your money's worth on a home inspection if someone says, well, you need to call an electrician in, well, you need to call a plumber in, well, you need to call a structural engineer, you need a plumber, you need an HVAC guy. I mean, well, okay, what'd you do? You just determined we need all these specialties we're going to have to pay for? So you really do spell out in your report what it is, and then sometimes you'll comment, you might want to call in an expert on this.
Well, I think you're exactly right. And one of the things that I hope that we've done that some of the other inspection companies or teams haven't done is, you know, we've got a guy that used to work for an air conditioning company that that works with us. We've got a guy that was an electrician journeyman for a while, and we've got a guy that was a contractor. So we actually have people that have had experience in the construction business, building the house over the long haul. So a lot of times we can call them and say, you know, should we call an electrician for this? And Brian, as you all know, Brian will say, no, that's really not. That's more of a repair than it is getting an electrician out. So that helps us as well, having that little bit more expertise.
Well, you can always call an expert out in the field, but if it's a handyman job, it's nice to know it's a handyman job. And the homeowner and we may not know that. So that's a good plan.
Yeah. So when we look at something like some big pieces, like structure, how do you know when an expert in like a structural engineer is needed?
Good question. You know, that's a scary piece. Roofs and structure are scary, so we always want to err on the side of caution there. But there's a couple of really key indicators. The biggest one is if there's cracks in the brick, not cracks along the mortar in the brick, but there's cracks in the brick, and then you also go in the inside contiguous to where those cracks are and find baseboards that are loose or coming apart or cracks in the foundation there or cracks that are up in the wall, those contiguous things, those are the ones that you're really concerned about. And we had a structural engineer tell us one time, if you have a crack in a brick that you can stick that goes from top to bottom, that in any one of the places where it goes through the brick, you can actually stick a full quarter in, call a structural person. So that's one of the keys that we look for as well.
So at any given time, Scott's got a quarter in his pocket.
You're exactly right. I got that done.
Well, what we're going to go over today are what are the 8 things that you can count on a home inspector to inspect.
Okay.
Are there 8 things?
There are 8 things. There's some ancillary things that I'll go over too, but there are 8 specific things that the construction board insists that we go in and inspect.
Okay. Well, what's the first one on your report?
Okay. The first one is structure.
Okay.
That's the first one we go in. We visited about that a little bit. Now, within the structural component, there's 66 pieces to that structural component that we also look at. You know, depending on whether there's a basement, depending on whether there's a crawl space, but, you know, slab settlement, and then just typical settlement. Those are just pieces of that. And then do you want me to move on to the next one? Then
sure.
The next one would be exterior. And then within the exterior component, we have 68 smaller components that we look like cracks in the brick, mortar, masonry. Then we have damaged exterior, lintels, crack, drive path, different things like that. But there's a list of those that we also go through that are all under the category of exterior.
And lintels.
Okay.
Tell us what's a lintel.
Okay.
Because some of us make soup out of those.
Okay. Good point. Catch me on each one of those.
Yeah,
there's some other things like that, too. A lintel is a stabilization bar above a window. They're not always intact, but back in the 80s and 90s, they really used those a lot. And a lot of times those will rust or corrode and moisture. Anytime you see that they're corroding or rusting, then that means that moisture has an opportunity to be getting back in your house. And you want to be sure and clean those up. And there's a solution that you put on, you can paint on there, and it actually seals them. But
so
that's what a lintel is. It's
kind
a stabilization
of a paint
rod.
That they should be painted. They come with paint on them now.
They do. They do.
Which I didn't know that, but I had a home inspector say, well, the lintels need to be painted. And then my homeowner said, well, they come pre-painted. And I'm going, oh, well, I didn't know that. That was some time ago, but that's changed over the years as well.
It is. You know, it's a special paint that you use. It actually has a sealant that seeps back in and expands and prevents moisture from coming in that you can get at Lowe's or Home Depot.
And what do you call something like that? Special lintel paint?
That's the only thing I know there. You got it
really?
As good as I do. Yep. It's like Flex Seal with paint's what it is.
Yeah. There you go. Flex
Probably
Seal can do anything.
Mm-hmm. One of the most common things I see on inspection reports is the painting of lintels. So it's just a good thing if you're at your home today and you want to go, maybe something I need to do on the to-do list. Look at the space above your window.
So it's that stabilization bar that's right above, on the top part of the window, pretty much holding your brick up.
Yeah, it'll go in on each side of the window 3/4 of an inch.
Wow. So okay, usually they go further than that is what I've noticed is there's no uniform. It's kind of like they go to the next brick. They kind of like cut them that length or something. Mm-hmm. So
when we come back, we'll come back with the third part of an inspection report with Scott Hill here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.
NMLS number 196-895.
Anytime that you are thinking about getting a loan, getting ready to purchase or refinance, we encourage you to give our money men a call at SWBC Mortgage, Dean Riddell, Matt McLean. You can give them a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. If you just want to find out what your credit score and how it's, you know, whether you can, what you could qualify potentially for.
Even before you start looking for houses, that's a good idea to go in first. Just have a sit down with them, and they don't charge you anything. So just go make an appointment, go have a sit down, and they're near Hefner between what, Rockwell and MacArthur.
Yep, right there on the north part of Hefner. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things I really appreciate is unlike those web portals that a lot of people start with, they won't sell your information here, SWBC.
Oh, I know. That's aggravating, isn't it, when someone sells your information? So, okay. Well, and I no longer have a mortgage. However, I got my own mortgage through SWBC Mortgage. So go see my friends over there. Okay, Scott Hill. Call us First Home Inspections. There are 8 systems or major items that you inspect, and the construction board actually dictates that you have to inspect these things, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and we went over the first one is the structure of the home. The next one is the exterior of the home. The exterior is different than the structure.
It is very different. Yeah, there's a lot of different. Structure actually has to do with foundational or framing or roof structure. Those are the 3 primary units, whereas the exterior, you can have brick that are falling off the wall, but the structure is still fine. And same thing with siding and so forth.
There's a very simple thing that a lot of people just don't kind of have set in their mind is that we don't really have brick homes. The brick is veneer.
Absolutely.
It's exterior. Keeps out the weather. Mm-hmm. We really have wood frame homes.
That's correct. Wood frame homes with a vapor barrier in between, and then the bricks put on the outside and stacked. And sometimes they're sutured end to the frame, and sometimes they're not. And mm-hmm. That's pretty easy to tell.
Yeah, because you can push on it and tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just move. Was one of the weird, when I started, you know, getting into real estate here, I've never saw a brick veneer that you could push and move.
You probably never pushed on it.
I had never had. And then sometimes they need to get tied back because they are moving in that way.
Or a tie down can come loose and it becomes loose there. And then a lot of people will report that as a structure. And it's really not a structural issue.
Okay. So structure, exterior. What's the next thing on your report?
The next one would be roof and attic. And roofing attic, you'd really want to know on your roof. Ideally is how old is the roof? That's one of the biggest things that you want to know. And we do our best with the disclosures that are given to us by the realtors. We usually put that on the report. And then the other thing is, are the shingles, most of the roofs that we inspect are shingles. And there's a very easy way to determine whether a roof shingle, it has hail damage or just premature deterioration, because you see marks a lot of time, but you can actually take your finger, and if you could take your finger and your finger goes in through the fiberglass, then that's typically a hail mark. If you put your finger up next to it and you can't put it through the fiberglass where you can almost get to the vapor barrier underneath, then it's generally just premature deterioration. So that's one of the things that's one of the reasons we always want to be able to get onto the roof rather than some of the roofs are too steep and we can't get on them. But getting on the roof really gives you a much better and clearer indication of what kind of damage, if any, there is. And then the second thing I would say about roofs are in the attic. We find so many things in the attic that really the something that's really, really important. There's two types of framing. There's rafter framing and truss framing. Rafter framing, and they'll go up and they'll nail it and put it together and make sure it meets. Truss framing are put together. They are actually designed at the manufacturer and built there and brought in and put in with gussets, which is a lot more, lot stronger with the truss type framing. More Norman, Oklahoma, where the tornadoes have been so active in the past, lots and lots of truss framing used down there by the builders, which is really good.
Okay. And on the roof, you know, used to, we would have as many, well, sometimes more, but it was not uncommon to have three layers of shingles on the roof. So will that, this is a good question, actually, pass a home inspection? And there's not such thing as a pass or fail a home inspection,
really,
is
not
there?
No, there's really not. A lot of people want us to pass or fail, but that's not our job.
Correct. Yeah.
So, but we don't, you don't see that anymore, the layer upon layer of roofing.
That's correct. It's primarily because of the weight. You know, they get so much, so many shingles on top of each other, and all of a sudden the weight for the actual structural components, whether it be rafter or truss, you get too much weight on there, and the next thing you know, it's going to start bowing inside with the support boards inside. So we really have to be careful with anytime it's over two layers, for sure, we want to report it.
I got a question for you, Scott, on attics. And ventilation in attics is something you look for. And how do you know if there's adequate ventilation in an attic?
That's a really difficult question to answer, Mark, because a lot of times a home inspector won't know. There's an equation that you use. It's based on the square footage of the actual attic area, which we don't have any way of measuring.
Right.
So it's somewhat of a guesstimate idea. It's not based on the air that's coming in or going out, although that's what everybody thinks. How many turbines do you have up? How many air vents do you have? How many soffit vents do you have? But it's based on the square footage of the actual attic flow that's coming in and coming out. That's really not something that we can test. It's something that if the temperature in the attic in three or four different places in the attic is above 147 degrees, and you can actually feel the temperature on the wood, then we typically call it out. That's how we were trained to do that. But as far as doing the measurements, we don't have the access to be able to do that actual interior measurement.
I know someone who can do that, and that's Larry Robbins with Robbins Roofing.
Yeah.
And your roof will last longer if it's adequately ventilated. Your shingles will last longer. I have to, and Larry Robbins, I mean, easy to find. 405-728-3700.
728-3700, or with any of them. You always can go to BeckyIvins.com. Look at Becky's favorites, and you can click. They'll be right there.
And we often use the word roof for shingles. And that's been tested in our Oklahoma courts, actually. And if someone says roof, they really can mean shingles, because has your roof been replaced? Well, yes, we replaced it, you know, 5 years ago. Well, you didn't replace your roof unless you took the structure of the top of your house off. You replaced the shingles and the underlayment of the roof covering, right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we find a lot of times we'll find two layers of sheathing, which are most of the time they're board and OSB or board and plywood. And in 2015, they actually changed it to where the code has been changed now, to where if you had two layers of sheathing prior to and you have a tornado or have to have them replaced, they have to take up all of it and replace it with just one layer of sheathing, whether it be board or OSB or plywood. Typically, it's OSB this day and time.
Really? Wow. Okay. Well, that's a change, because now they go they had been going over it again with an extra OSB.
Exactly. They've done that a lot and can't do that anymore.
Oh, wow.
In certain counties. Certain counties have ruled.
Thickness?
Well, it wasn't thickness so much as if you had 1x8s or 1x6 boards on the roof, you had to put another layer of OSB on top of it, which is a 4x8 sheet.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that looks like a bunch of splinters together. Yeah. That are,
mm-hmm. That's exactly what it looks
have
like.
Have resin holding them together.
When we come back after the news break, we'll be talking about the fourth thing that we look for in an inspection report right here with Scott Hill on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with Becky Ivins, and we're talking to Scott Hill, owner and inspector of Call Us First Home Inspections, our go-to home inspection company, and it's time for our word of the day. Word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call today at 405-728-3700. That's 728-3700. Or you can go to BeckyIvins.com. And if you're on a computer, you can just go over to Becky Ivins Favorites. If you're on your phone, you can just scroll down to Becky Ivins Favorites, and you'll see Robbins Roofing right there. Our word of the day is something I need.
What is that?
Discernment.
Discernment. Well, discernment, I can remember the last time I used that word, I think, was several years ago. And I used it as that was an astonishing lack of discernment to an agent that was working with me.
Okay, it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. No, she had loaned our moving truck out to someone without a gas cap on it.
Oh,
on
wow.
On a day like we've had
that's
in
been
August.
Warm.
Hot days.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, if a spark of anything, that truck would have exploded
Of
the fumes coming out of the apartment. But it is the ability to judge well. And you use that word quite a lot.
We do. Discernment is a really good quality word for us to use in the home inspection business because our job is to discern if something is operating, if something, not necessarily if it needs to be replaced or not, or whether it needs to be fixed, but is it operating appropriately at the time of the inspection? So discernment's a good word for us in the inspection business.
Okay, that's a great word. Word
discernment
of the
brought to you by Robbins Roofing. Now, Scott, our next, our fourth, so our first thing was structure and then exterior, then roof and attic, and now we're at appliances. And which appliances do you inspect and which ones do you don't inspect?
Well, we'll inspect all the appliances that are attached to the house. Microwave is a classic example. If there's a microwave that's built into a cabinet in a kitchen, then we will inspect that. If it's not built in, just sitting on the counter like a coffee mate or something like that, then that's not something that we would inspect. Refrigerator, freezers, we typically inspect those even though they're not installed in because a lot of times we don't know whether that particular appliance is going to stay or leave with the house. So we have that on our report. Then obviously the stove and the oven are typical ones that we will always
dishwasher, disposal,
all of those.
And see vent fans in the
bathrooms.
Yeah. It might be under electrical though. I don't know. But anyway, the on appliances, Oklahoma is different than more than half the states. The refrigerator and the washer and dryer convey with the property. And I mean, call me what you want to, but that would be almost to me like having your toothbrush convey with the property. I don't want somebody else's. I want mine. Even if mine's not perfectly clean, I'd rather have my own washing machine and dryer and refrigerator.
Boy, this is one of the points that I try to make. is what stays typically with the property. I mean, you can always write nearly anything into the contract and ask for it to stay.
What paragraph, Mark?
Oh, my gosh, Becky. paragraph number seven, six, four? Four, there it is. Man, I was scrolling through my head on it.
Four has three columns of things that stay with the property automatically. And then there is paragraph 4A of the contract has things that are included in addition to that. That's where you're going to find the garage refrigerator. Now, you can't just say refrigerator if there's one in the garage and one in the kitchen and one in the wet bar and one
which
out on the patio.
Which refrigerator do you mean?
Yeah, you need to know which one. And then 4B are exclusions. If there's something that's written above in the matter of the contract, printed matter of the contract, that the seller is reserving, then you need, like, mineral rights would be one thing that it's not an attachment to, but you do have to reserve mineral rights if you're going to. And then maybe you're going to reserve the light fixture in the entry that nobody really wants anyway.
Right. If it's a, most of the time on things like that, if it's a fairly family heirloom that's been passed down or something that's meaningful in some sentimental way.
Do you know what I reserved when I left?
What did you reserve?
I reserved some iris bulbs that came from my best friend's great grandmother's property. And I reserved a hosta, just a piece. I left most of these there that Reba McEntire had purchased for her good school friend. And I had that house listed. And I said, oh, you want to take these? Because she'd told me. I said, oh, those are beautiful, huge leaves.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, Reba got me that when I built my house. And I was going, oh, well, so mine's named Reba. I have shared that all over the place. Given it to many different people. I'll give you a piece of Reba if you want it. It's a beautiful hostas.
Now you just need some Garth Brooks roses and you'd be fully Oklahoman.
Hey, I sold Garth Brooks' mom's house.
Oh, hey.
The
I
one
helped,
that he built for his mom.
I helped hang the wallpaper in there.
You did, didn't
I did.
You?
I did.
Well, it was too much peach. I'm just telling you.
I remember
the
it.
Color peach. The walls were peach. It was, hard to sell because it was peach, but it was a beautiful home.
It was.
Beautiful home.
Beautiful home.
Okay. So appliances, you're going to check what's there. What's the next thing?
Next thing would be plumbing.
Oh, well, that's kind of a small word for a big system.
That is a lot going on with plumbing. We have to check. Obviously, we have to check each one of the faucets to see if there's any kind of leak. We have to check the hot water to see what the temperature is. We have to check each drain line underneath each sink, and have to check the bathtub. We'll check around in and around the bathtub for grout, and then there's the exterior inspection on all the faucets on the exterior. One of the biggest things that we find that you really should take a hard look at is if you've got an exterior faucet where your spigot or your faucet top has actually come undone and is not insulated. Some of the weather that we've had the past summer, when that has really caused a lot of problems back, because you never know whether if that copper pipe freezes, how far back in the wall it actually freezes, and it can actually freeze and start cracking and really create a lot of problems.
Well, then you get a surprise in the spring when things thaw.
You do get that, that's for sure. But that's one of the things we oftentimes point out on the exterior. So plumbing is it's a big issue. That, out of all of the different components that we do, we probably find more small things with plumbing in and around the house than any of the other components.
So with plumbing, one thing that a buyer can decide is to have the plumbing scoped, which so often I just highly recommend that. When is scoping needed?
Scoping is necessary when you have a slow drain, potentially a slow drain. And a lot of the scoping too, we'll probably talk about in one of the further ones when we get to HVAC, because there's a difference in. But the sewer scoping is what most people really want. They want to make sure that all of their lines are clear from the city sewer line all the way into their house to their bathrooms. That's really the ones that they're talking about. And the way we make sure that there's not a problem with that, we run the water for, you all know, we run it for about an hour to make sure that there's no backup anywhere.
Yeah.
Right, and sometimes when there's a backup, it's just a hair in a shower drain. Mm-hmm. And they sell these things for they're probably more than a dollar now. But they were a dollar at Home Depot. That's kind of like a little plastic flexible thing that you stick down there and you pull the hair out. A little bit gross for me, but I'll let my husband do it.
There you go. There
well,
you
I'll
go.
Tell you, when we come back, I'll tell you a story, quick story of when Scott Hill kind of saved my buyer's bacon on a brand new house this past summer. When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. So back in the summer, we had a brand new house, great buyers moved from Texas to Oklahoma, and we were doing the inspection. Scott Hill was doing it, ran all the water, and went outside, check, new septic backing up, just flooding everywhere. And so we had to get the builder to fix the problem without doing an inspection on this brand new home. Buyer would not have known it until they had moved in.
Was it a aerobic system?
Yep.
It wasn't hooked up right?
It was not connected right. Saved the buyer so much time, headache, and probably some money.
See, new homes, your inspection's worth it. If you have a new home, if you're a realtor out there listening, be sure and call Scott and have him do an inspection on a new home. It's under warranty, but you may never realize something's wrong until it's so inconvenient. It'll be like on Thanksgiving Day, something will happen.
Yeah, Becky, one of the things, and this is kind of throwing a plug for us, we do home inspections, as you know, for certain prices. On brand new houses, we'll come out and we'll do a regular home inspection, full home inspection. We'll come back at 11 months. You know, the builders will provide a 12-month warranty. We'll come back at 11 months. We'll do that same full inspection for half price, and we always pay for ourselves two or three times coming
wow.
back out.
I love it. Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord. Our Smoking Hot Deals brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh hot Mexican food.
And have you been to the new one in Yukon?
So
it
excited.
It's on Main Street. It's open. It's ready, and it's got delicious margaritas, even though it's surrounded by literally seven churches or stone's throw away. I want my margarita when I go. But the thing is that you got to sell more food than liquor because they are a restaurant that happens to serve, you know, Corona and Dos Equis. And yeah, so they – but anyway, it's a small place. You're going to find it crowded, but it's – good, and the weather's cooling off a little bit, so pretty soon you'll be able to sit on the patio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got a nice big patio.
Yep.
So our
smoking hot deal,
we don't know what your smoking hot deal is because you haven't called. Deal is something different. What you need to do is call us at 722-3232. Here we are in the 405, and tell us what deal you are looking for, because we look for you before things go on the market. When people call us and say, we're getting ready to put this on the market, well, if it's something you've told us you're looking for, you're going to get first dibs at looking at that property, so that you don't have to wait and go, oh, well, you listed it and it's sold now.
So our team, we do a morning huddle call every morning. And when there's a new listing that's coming, it's always mentioned, we have this listing that's coming. Anybody know someone who is looking to purchase this
right.
type? And you're ahead of the curve.
And each of our buyers has between about 4 and 7 buyers at a time that they're working with. But they also have what we call our B buyers that are not quite ready to purchase right now. But they might if exactly the right property came up.
Yep.
So they kind of go through their list and make sure that that's what it is. So give yourself the advantage of having a whole team of realtors working to find you exactly what you want. It's 722-3232.
Or you can go on BeckyIvins.com and you can just fill out a form right there that says, hey, keep me in mind for this, and click send.
And Scott Hill's here. How do you find Scott Hill?
Go to Scott Hill. You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites. He's right there. It's Call Us First Home Inspections.
Okay. I'll have to say I really, really like working with your team. We've worked with other home inspectors, and we've had good home inspectors. I really like working with your team. You guys are some of the best folks I know to accommodate a schedule, and that is real important because, you know, some people want to be there for their home inspection, or at least the end of their home inspection, and you do real good at accommodating a schedule, and you guys are fast. You're fast because there's several of you.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and that's part of, you know, I learned early on that, you know, if you take a home inspection, regardless of the size of the house, if you let it drag on much more than 2 hours, then a lot of times realtors and buyers, they get a little lethargic, and they really want to get it done minimum of 2 hours. So we plan for that.
Yeah, you don't do it faster. You just do it with more people.
More people, exactly.
So, okay, we've gone through our first five things, which is structure, exterior, roof and attic, appliances, and plumbing. What's our next major system that you check?
It's electrical. Electrical, if there's anyone really important, not necessarily in new homes, sometimes even new homes, but certainly in the older homes, to have a really good, thorough electrical inspection is extremely important from a safety perspective as much as anything else.
Yeah, and so do you check the electrical panel box?
We do. We'll go through and actually use a tester on every plug in the house that we can get to, and then we'll take the panel cover off, and we'll evaluate the panel. And typically what we find in there is a lot of debris, particularly on the older ones. There are some panels that have been done away with that are not allowed anymore, and then there are some panels that everybody would have heard about, such as General Electric. General Electric's been around a long time. But typically safety issues is really what we're looking for on the electrical panel. And inside, one of the things that's easy to see, although you would have to take your panel off, but it can be a safety issue, is when a handyman has gone in and repaired, they thought they repaired a circuit breaker, and what they do is they take two hot wires and they put it in one circuit breaker. That is an absolute no-no. We find that a lot in older homes, and that really ups the ante on having a potential fire. An arcing is what it's called, where that arc doesn't catch the ground and actually go through your grounding device. So that's a real big issue there, but that's probably the biggest one that we find, just handyman going in and not taking the time to add another circuit breaker, and they just double up on the same amped breaker, and that just doesn't work.
Do you check the lights, light fixtures?
We do check the lights and the light fixtures, turn everything on, everything off, make sure that it's operating correctly. Same thing with fans. We do the fans in our electrical, so we'll test that.
Okay. So what's the next thing?
The next thing is heat and air.
Okay.
And heat and air is that's one that you really want to pay a lot of attention to. We talked about it early on, is the age of the units. There are several things that we can tell when we're inspecting both the condenser and the furnace. And one of the things you want to know is, how old is your furnace? How old is your condenser? Are they the same age as the house? And if they're over 15 years, then typically we will make a recommendation at least to be careful with it and budget for replacement. They can last 30 years, but you never know whether the people that have owned it, owned that house, have changed the filters and had them serviced. There's a real key word to heat and air that is important. Having your heat and air unit serviced once a year is extremely important, because they'll come in, they'll check your filters, they'll check all of the different components within the condenser and the furnace, and having that done will save years and years on the functionality of your heat and air unit.
And you know, one thing I found on the heating and air conditioning when I manage properties is that I buy a yearly, where they come out twice a year and they look, and you don't have unexpected repairs that way. I mean, if there's a repair that needs to be made, they make it when they're out there, rather than a tenant calling you on a 110-degree day and telling you it's hot. And, of course, that's always Friday afternoon when they
absolutely
do that.
Yeah, I think this, you know, you look at heat and air like you do a car. You change the oil every 3,000 miles, you need to change your filters.
Yes, certainly change the filters, for sure. Okay, so how about if there's more than one heating? Oh, we've got 1 minute.
We've
going to have to go to the next
got
one.
Eighth, yep.
Okay.
Interior.
Interior. Everybody's interested in interior. This is where we get ourselves into just a little bit of a problem with some of the buyers, because buyers, they really want to know the cosmetic pieces of the interior. We're going to check windows. We're going to check doors. We're going to check walls. We're going to check flooring. We're going to make sure everything operates correctly and appropriately. But as far as the scratch that's on the side of one of the cabinets, then that's a very difficult thing. Now, whether the cabinet opens, whether the knobs are tight, so on and so forth, all of those things from an interior perspective. But the painting job, that's really not something that we do. We just make sure that the components are operating correctly.
Well, I tell you, when you need an inspector or just have a question, contact Scott Hill. He's just a great guy and will help you tremendously. Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000.